Our gospel this sixth Sunday after Pentecost comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Excuse me. There's only one thing that matters. That's what's true for Jesus in our gospel text this morning. There's only one thing that matters, and that's Jerusalem. Jesus knows that his journey will come to its end in Jerusalem. He knows that there will be a final confrontation with the religious authorities in Jerusalem. And he knows that only in Jerusalem can the course of all creation be changed. Now remember, this is the same Jesus who will later tell his disciples that a prophet cannot be killed outside of Jerusalem. He knows what awaits him there. His disciples may not understand yet, but they will. Jerusalem is the climax. And because Jerusalem is the climax, the final chapter of the story of Jesus' earthly life, once Jesus has decided to go, he will not, he cannot turn away. But this particular decision for Jesus doesn't mean that he simply ends up in Jerusalem and nothing else is happening along the way. Indeed, the next 10 chapters of the Gospel of Luke are filled with stories of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He is interrupted by people needing healing. He teaches, he forgives sins, but all along the way there is a constant theme. Jesus is on his way toward Jerusalem. And it's important to recognize how this fact affects his interactions with those who wish to follow him, and also those whom he might encounter along the way. Our gospel reading this morning offers the story of a Samaritan village that Jesus was originally planning on passing through on his way to Jerusalem. But because Jesus had already set his sights on Jerusalem, a city that the Samaritans did not find nearly as important as most Jewish people did, the Samaritans in that village did not receive him. Now, this is a bit of an interesting cultural exchange happening here. Samaritans know what a prophet looks like. They know what a man from God looks like. And so you would think that as Jesus offers to come and stay with them on his journey, they would be honored. But instead, because his final destination is Jerusalem, they refuse to accept him. Despite his reaching out, they know that they are not truly the focus. Jerusalem, the city that the majority of the population of Jews call the center of their faith, is his focus. How can he minister to the Samaritan if his focus is so overtly on the majority? Excuse me. Now, in a similar fashion, Jesus is encountering several would-be followers today in our gospel reading, but there seems to be a theme. The first simply tells Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go," and Jesus discourages him. Now, I don't think that we need any proof other than this, that Jesus' primary focus is not necessarily about having a huge following. Jesus knows that the journey ahead of him will be hard, and at the end of it, he will be abandoned and alone. Not everybody is cut out for such a journey. But then the other two potential followers come onto the scene, and they both offer their devotion, but on their own terms. There's always a, but first, I must do this. There is something else I must do before I follow Jesus. One must bury his father. Another must say goodbye to his loved ones at home. And in my opinion, those are both reasonable expectations, but not for one who has his face set toward Jerusalem. If you are going to be a follower of Jesus, you can't even look back. To use Jesus' words, no one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. There's work to be done. Those who follow Jesus can't be bogged down in things that might delay that work. I'll be honest, I think that most of us here in this room today would have made terrible disciples, myself included. We are the ones who would always be looking back. I know I would. Now, I'm blessed to have multiple vocations that I hold dear, most of which relate to my family. Now, while my vocation as pastor is very important to my identity, it is not the whole of my identity. Think about it. Most of us in this room hold family vocations as very dear. Parent, aunt, uncle, sibling, daughter or son. And there are other vocations that matter too. Some of us in this room have played essential roles in keeping other people safe or healthy as well. Vocations as protectors and healers and facilitators matter as well. We would not be well fit for the kingdom of God, as Jesus describes in our gospel reading today, because we hold all vocations to have value. To be a follower of Jesus as he journeys toward Jerusalem, it is a different kind of vocation. He is challenging his followers to focus on nothing else but the journey alongside him. There is no need to worry about family back home. There is no value in focusing on anything that is in the past. The present and the future with Christ is all that matters. Jesus knows that at the end of the journey, his departure from the disciples will happen here on earth. So every moment that he is with them must be capitalized on. Every second is an opportunity to learn something new about the kingdom of God. His disciples must be as single-minded as he is in their devotion. For the days are drawing near for Jesus to be taken up. The circumstances for these early followers of Jesus were a little different than ours. We learn about Jesus differently than they did. They had the flesh and blood presence of Jesus, but there weren't stories that were promulgating across the land. They had to be in his presence. Stories of who Jesus was and his teaching would not be readily available yet to most of the people. They had to take advantage of his physical presence while they had it. Now, we are gathered here, however, and we are blessed with Jesus' presence, not necessarily in flesh and blood, but in word and in sacrament. We encounter Christ first in our baptism. We encounter Christ in the bread and the wine turned body and blood, and we encounter Christ in the scripture that we draw from. For us, we are blessed with the kingdom of God coming to us through these means of grace. We are blessed because through Christ's death and resurrection, we have been given the path to eternal life that doesn't have an expiration date. But still, in the midst of all these blessings that we have, I do wonder, are we selling ourselves short by not being as single-mindedly devoted to the way as those early followers? As I said before, we would probably make horrible disciples of Christ in the first century realities that his followers faced. But that doesn't mean that we can't learn from them. What would it mean for us to be so uniquely devoted to Christ as these followers were called to be? Would we leave our homes? Would we leave our families behind in our careers and simply follow Jesus on the journey? Perhaps. But for us today, maybe it means that God is calling us to something new. Perhaps it means that God is asking us to be just a little less comfortable for the sake of the gospel. For the Spirit is still speaking. It speaks even to those of us who find that we value our other vocations just as much as our vocation as followers of Christ. And where the Spirit speaks, new possibilities still come into being. May we be willing to be challenged by the single-mindedness of Christ. May we see the path that Christ wants us to walk and trust that God will help us find our way to that path. And may we all trust the paths that Christ calls us to, while not necessarily comfortable or painless, are indeed worthy. For Christ calls us all to be single-minded in our following of Him. May we so honor our lives, our vocation, our beings in serving one another that it may still be so. And in serving one another, indeed, we find that we follow Christ. Amen.